Topic, I think this is a cool one to end on. So last week we kind of set the table, right? We saw the Pesukim, we saw some of the Mefarshim, and we came away, right? The question which everyone asks about the Sar Mishtalayach is who is, all right, or you know, Azazel, right? So everyone wants to know who or what is Azazel. So we saw, right, the base of Achukas, if Azazel is who or what, so it goes in. But then really the more interesting question becomes, what's the status of this seller, right? Specifically, is it a carbon or not? And the two main models we had were one from the Rambam, one from the Ramban. The Rambam thinks that it's a carbon. And we had Rav Hirsch kind of delving into this, and we'll pick up with some of what he was talking about at the beginning this morning. And the Ramban thought that it was, we can call, an anti-carbon, right? He has this like global theory that all the Para Aduma and the Egla Arufa and the Seir HaMishtalayach, and also the par that Aharon brought in the Miluim, which was also taken out to be burnt. So he thinks that all of these represent this idea that you have certain things which operate similarly to karbanos, in that they are mechaprim, but they can't achieve direct kapara by going on the Mizbeach. The way that they achieve kapara is just by being taken out of the machane, right? There are some things, right, you have a virus, so you can either, you know, quarantine it or fix it, right? So you have certain situations where you can't bring it to the Mizbeach directly, right? You the only thing you can do is a quarantine, right? So that's the model of the anti-carbon, right, where we just take it out, right? So the Egla Rufa, that's why the Ramban argues with the Rambam and says you can't, right, because the Rambam, you know the Rambam's theory about Egla Rufa, it's an interesting theory. The Rambam thinks that, yeah, we just have this whole ceremony as a way of generating publicity, and if it gets in the papers, then, you know, whoever has information of the murderer will come forth. So the Ramban says, that's very interesting. There's only one problem. If the goal is to create publicity, so we should do the whole ceremony like in the Rehov HaIr, right? We should have it in the city square instead of having it dafka outside, right, by the wild river. So the Ramban says that it seems more likely that the point of this is to, you know, we're it's an anti-carbon, we're taking the par and, you know, the Egla, and we're taking it out of the city, right, and we're, you know, kind of rejecting the whatever it was involved in the murder, and hoping that this can be a kapara for us. And so to write the paraduma, which is about tara, right, so you take the tuma and it goes out, and he thinks that the same phenomenon is happening with the Sar Mishtalayach. So bottom line is, we have the model of Sar Mishtalayach as carbon, Sar Mishtalayach as anti-carbon. Now, the hurdle that you have to climb if you think it's a carbon, well, some of them is, it's a, where's the avoda of it, right? There doesn't seem to be avoda. It's not going on the Mizbeach. It's not shechted. There's no avodas hadam, right? There's nothing with the dam at all. On the other hand, it seems like there is evidence that it has carbon status, right? So we saw, for example, I think it was the Cheskuni who noted that the source for how you do smicha, right? That smicha on carbon is done with two hands. So the source for that is the Sar HaMishtalayach, right? So once you have, you know, general Dine Karbanos being derived from the Sar HaMishtalayach, it's very difficult to think that this has nothing to do, or at least as a challenge, say this has nothing to do with Karbanos at all. Okay, so what we won't see it in fact because we don't have time, but what I wanted to get to last week, and we kind of very quickly saw it, was, right, Rav Hirsch had this idea, like, where does the Sar Mishtalayach status as a carbon come from, right? If indeed it's a carbon, so it's not being brought as a carbon, so how can we call it a chatas? How can we call it a carbon if there's no avodas a carbon of it, right? And his answer is that where does it come from? It comes from the identical twin of the Sar HaMishtalayach, right? That the goat to Azazel and the goat to the Kodesh HaKadashim are a joint kiyum, right? And he had and the first, we'll say three proofs of that. The first one he has is just from the Lashon of the Pesukim, which was, right, Shnei Seirei Izim lechatas, right? That you have two goats for one chatas, right? Us. It's Achimos, this week's Parsha. That's cool. Good week to wrap up our if there had to be a week to wrap up our Yuma Liman, I guess it should be the week of Achimos.
Yeah, we've
yeah. Although Yom Kippur comes up again in Emor, but like, yeah, but this is now we finish strong and we come into the leaning on Shabbos.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Okay, right. So that's argument number one, is that if it draws on the Sarin Lashem, so that would work nicely with the Pesukim. You have two series Seirayizim Lachatas. So you say the Sarin Lashem is kind of the avoda side, right? And so you want to know, where's the avoda of the Sarin Mashaleach? If indeed it's a carbon, the answer is its avoda is fulfilled by the Sarin Lashem. So just quickly, two proofs for that before we get into what I really want to develop this morning. So one was an argument that the Rav presented. Right, it's a very complicated Gemara on Daf Mem, and Rishonim are trying to figure out what's the Gersa, because it seems very disjointed. The Gemara presents a machlokas whether Hagrala me'akeves or Hagrala ena me'akeves. Right? Do you really need this lottery system to select your which sire is going to Hashem, or do you not? And the position of Rabbi Shimon is that you do not require hagrala, right? So, for example, if after you did the hagrala, one of the goats dies, right? So now you need a new goat. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, you just go out and get a new goat. You don't need to do a whole new hagrala, because we don't think that hagrala is ma'akev or ma'akeves on the seirim. Most of the other Tanaim argue, including Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara has that machlokas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you need hagrala for every one of the two seirim, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you do not. And then the Gemara seems to connect this to a different machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which is how long does the sayer hameshtalayach need to remain alive for? Right, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Sayer Hameshtalayach needs to stay alive all the way until the time of the Vidui, right? Which happens after the Kohen Gadol comes out of the Kodesh HaKadashim, right? He, as soon as he finishes with all the blood in the Kodesh HaKadashim, he then goes out and does the Vidui in the Sayer Hameshtalayach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that you need Hagrala, according to Rabbi Shimon, who thinks you don't need Hagrala, that is connected somehow to needing the Sayer Hameshtalayach to remain alive until Vidoy, while according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that Hagrala is Ma'akeves, so Gemara seems to say that goes according to his reasoning, that you only need the Sayer Hameshtalayach to remain alive until you do the Avoda of the Dam of the Sayer Lashem, right? So if while the Kohen Gadol is coming out of the Kodesh HaKadashim to do the Avoda, to do the Vidoy on the Sayer gets a heart attack, Rabbi Shimon would say, you need to get yourself a new sire, because where was the vidui? And Rabbi Huda would say, no, you don't need a new sire, because it was alive during the avoda of the sire Lashem. And so the question which Rishonim deal with is, that's how Tosos read the Gemara, right? They say that those two machloksin are linked. And the problem is, what is the relationship between those two, right? How does requiring hagrala or not connect to how long the sire hameshtalayach must remain alive for, right? Those seem like two different issues. One issue is, do you need Hagrala? And the other issue is, does the Sayer Hameshtalayach stay alive until Vidui or until the Avoda of the Sayer Hashem? So the Rav explains Tosas' reasoning and works all with the language Tosas have there, which is, what's this idea that the Sayer Hameshtalayach is only staying alive until the Avoda Saddam of the other Sayer, right? Why does the avoda of the Sayer Lashem mandate the remaining alive of the Sayer Hameshtalayach? Those are two different animals. So what's the answer that's mitvakesh based on the idea we've started to see is if you think that these are really two sides of one kiyum, right? That you have shnei sireis and machatas, so then you're going to say, yeah, exactly, right? The kiyum avoda of the Sayer Hameshtalayach is the avoda of the Sayer Lashem. So it needs to remain alive until that is completed. But after that's completed, it doesn't need to remain alive anymore, right? So even though, you know, the center stage moment of the Sayer Hameshtalayach is the vidui, the actual pivotal moment for it was 5 minutes earlier when the Sayer Lashem was being brought inside the Kodesh HaKadashim and inside the Kodesh. And that's going to connect to requiring Hagrala. Because what does the emphasis on needing Hagrala emphasize, right? This unheard-of principle that we need a lottery to determine which sire is Lashem, which sire is Lazazel.
The relationship between the two.
1,000%, right? You can't go and say this sire is Lashem and this sire is Lazazel, right? They have to be two seirim, which are together, and the Mishnah says, right? They look the same, you buy them at the same time, and the only differentiating factor between them, right, is how the lots fall out, right? So the more strongly you emphasize the relationship between the two Seirim, the more likely you are to require Hagala, and the more likely you are to say that you only need the Seir HaMeshtalech to remain alive until the completion of the Avoda of the Seir Lashem, right? So that's the Rav's argument based on how Tosos read that Gemara on Daf Men. If you think that it's one Chatas with two animals to it, so that would explain why Hagrala is connected to remaining alive until the Avodah Saddam. Okay, and then the third one, which I added, that was the first blue source for this morning, is a very interesting argument by the Gvur Sari. Right, so the Tzair HaMeshtaleach involves, sending it out involves Malacha, right? Because you have to violate the Tchum, take it out there. The Gemara says, sorry, sometimes if it gets sick, the Ish Iti has to carry it out to the wilderness. And the Gemara has a special drasha to explain that it is Docha Shabbos. Right, so if Shabbos, right, if it's on Yom Kippur, so then inherently the Torah tells you to do it, it's okay. But how does, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, why are you allowed to violate Shabbos for the schlepping of the Seir HaMeshtaleach? So the Gvur Sari points out that this really seems to break normal rules that we have. Because the sending out of the Seir HaMeshtaleach is not an akiv, right? If the Seir HaMeshtaleach never gets sent out, you still would get a kapara, which we'll have to explain a little bit later. But the general principle we have in Karbanos, normally, right, is that if something's not ma'akev, you shouldn't do it on Shabbos, right? It's ma'akev, if it's required, so then it's docha Shabbos. If it's not, so just do it matzah Shabbos, right? Why can't the Ishiti just, you know, stand by the city gate of Yerushalayim, and then after Shabbos, after Yom Kippur Shabbos is over, take it out to the Midbar. Now, in Karbanos, we have all the time, right? Every Shabbos, we have avoda we have malacha that's ma'akev for karbanos, and we have malacha that's not ma'akev for karbanos, right? Because what's ma'akev kapara for kaparos generally? Sprinkling the blood, right? What do you do to the carbon after you sprinkle the blood? Exactly, right? So the hechter chalav mevarim, right? The burning of the fats in the limbs is done after the sprinkling of the blood, but that's not needed for the kapara. So why are you allowed to burn the fats and limbs on Shabbos? So the Gemara explains that you have to make two moves. Number one, the door was already opened by the malacha that was done legally to this carbon. Right, what malacha did you already violate when you bring a carbon? Shechita, exactly. Right, so shechita, you've already done malacha to this carbon, and then once that's occurred, we have a concept called chavivin mitzvah b'shaita, right? That it's better for a mitzvah to be done in its time than later. Right, so don't push off the burning until Matzei Shabbos, because chavivin mitzvah b'shaita, you'd rather do the mitzvah. It's better to do the mitzvah on Shabbos itself, but you need the malacha of shechita to open the door, right? Once Shabbos has been nidcha, so then, right, chaviv and mitzvah b'shaita can keep the door open for you. It can't open the door by itself, but it can keep the door open, right? That's the principle when it comes to karbanos.
Aren't the limbs and fat splints like marred?
The leftovers, right? You start when you can, and then the leftovers and extras are brought into the net, right? Exactly. So the Gvura Sari argues, what's the parallel regarding the Seir HaMeshtaleach? Right? The Seir HaMeshtaleach, there's no malacha involved, right? It's Yamur Chai. So what is requiring its being schlepped out on Shabbos? Where the Shechita of the Seir Lashem, right? He says, because you have, right, these two animals, and it's a joint kiyum, and it's a joint carbon. So just like shechita opens the door for Hector Chalav Mevarim, so too shechita of the Seir Lashem, he argues, keeps the door open for sending the Seir out to the Midbar. So those are the three, right? If we think that the Seir HaMeshtaleach is indeed a carbon, then we have to ask, like, Mehechatesi. So we're arguing that it derives its carbon status from its being the twin of the Sar Lashem. Right, and that explains the Psukim. That explains right. That was the Rav's idea about linking, requiring Hagrala to only needing it to stay alive until the completion of the Avodah Saddam of the other sire. And finally, it explains why you would schlep it out even on Shabbos. Okay, good. So that's just the part one. Now we need to figure out, right? Does it indeed have the status of a carbon? Right, we have that in the Farshim, but you'd like to pin down in some of the Rishonim a little more discussion about whether this has a status of a carbon or not. So, are people able to see the Rishonim and Shavuos, Tosafos Rashi and the Rashba? Okay, so what's going on there?
Is this where they're discussing like whether Hagrol, whether it happens after Hagrol or after Bidoy?
You have the Sar Mishaleach's kapara lasts the whole day, right? Even after the karban.
And then was there? We didn't fully understand, but was like it seems like there was some sort of discussion about like either like the kapara happens immediately after the karban, or like it doesn't take effect until like the end of the day because it's the whole day, which is mechal.
So I think both are true, right? That it takes effect immediately, but it covers the rest of the day, right? So the Sar Mishaleach is brought at 2 o'clock, and someone did Aveira at 3 o'clock, right? He'd still be covered, which is very strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because normally you bring a carbon, and the carbon's Mechaper, but how does a carbon give Kapara for later Chet?
Right, so that's the Yom is Mechaper, not the Sar Mishaleach.
Right. But in the Gemara, it kind of seems like the Seir.
Yeah.
So we have to get back to that point. That's going to be how we'll end with focusing on that. But right now, the Gemara, it sounds like it's the Seir which is accomplishing this later Kapar, which is bothering Tosafos Harash.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Was the whole Kufi Akiva thing here, like the Avera's ties to the Karban, like meaning if it hasn't been done yet, it's more of a Kufi type of thing, or is that...
No, I don't. I think that was just the other Kohanim who are latching on to the.
Oh, that's still talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Are they like eating alongside the Kohen Gadol, or are they like the Moray fish who just picks up the leftovers that he leaves for them? So Tosafos Harash asks, right? This is just a little strange. Do you have this kapara, this unheard of principle that a carbon can have kapara even after the fact. So if you pick up the second line, let's read from the second line from Shani Sar Mishaleach, I'll just read 2 lines of that. Awesome.
Shani Sar Mishaleach,
okay, so we can stop with that. So he kind of said 2 things there, right? The first thing sounds like what Lisa said, which is hard to understand, and the second thing is different. So what's the second thing that he says? Because that's definitely going to be easier to swallow.
That the whole thing is a
carbon. That well, hakrasan right? Vegam sar mishaleach.
Oh, sorry.
It's not a carbon, right? So you're asking how does it break the carbon rules and achieve kapara even for sins done after it's thrown off the cliff? The answer is, well, yeah, it breaks carbon rules because it's not a carbon, right? And then he says, oh, and also it's somehow related to the kapara sayom, which, right, is something we need to figure out. Like, what does that mean, right? If the yom is mechaper, then why are we calling the sayer the mechaper? So we'll see. But you definitely underline, right, those 6 words, gam sar mishaleach, lav carbon heve, and then he gives another answer that it's not a full kapara, right? So it can break the carbon rules because it's not giving you full kapara; it's giving you ktsas kapara, which is hard to understand. That's probably why he wants to give 2 answers. So we could definitely pin down Tosafos Harash, right? At least in one daya, as saying that it's not a carbon. Vaharaya. Bizarre kapara. And then, Mamash, in the same Gemara, you have the Rashba, who takes the polar opposite approach. right? Because the Rashi is dealing with this weird girsa, right? Which we don't have, but a bunch of the Rishonim did, which contrasts the kapara of the day to the kapara of the sire, right? And each one has a mutual advantage, right? What's the advantage of the advantage of the kapara of the goat over the day. What's the advantage of the goat? The what? Miyah, right, exactly. The sire achieves kapara the moment it's flung, right? While the...
No sprinkling.
While the day only achieves kapara at the end of the day, right? The shkia is the time where the day is mechaper. Okay. And then what's the advantage of the day over the goat? So it's a very strange line, which is probably why some of the Rishonim didn't have it.
That the day is mechaper without an extra karban. The
seer
needs the carbon to be
mechaper. Right. The sire is not mechaper without a carbon, which is strange because what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
The sire is the carbon, right? What does it mean? This is not mechaper without carbon. It is the carbon, right?
No, but it needs both parts. Yeah, it needs perhaps. The other seer,
Zerah
Hashem, to be
mechaper.
No.
So that's how the Rashba reads in his second answer. His second answer, which, right, which, you know, given our first part, we like a lot, right? The Sire Mishaleach is really, you know, it really is banking on the Sire Lashem. But his first answer is really interesting. His first answer is, what does it mean that Sire Mishaleach is not Mechaper without a carbon? He says, carbon, don't read carbon as a noun, read carbon, it's like as a verb, right? That it means, the Sire Mishaleach is not Mechaper unless you do its Hakrava. Which is...
It does say, and sometimes you say that by Krav, like whatever, it's Krav Aaron before the Seir Chai.
Great point, but it's Vikriv Aaron. Aaron approaches the goat, right? It's not Vikriv Es Hasayir, right? It's Vikriv El Hasayir, right? So he's not makriving the goat, he's approaching it. So the Rashi has this very big chiddush that the sending away the goat is called... It's called carbon. It's called hakrava. And then he backs off it, but it seems like he only backs off it because of a grammar point, right? That carbon just seems to refer to noun, right? It wasn't she'ena mechaper below hakrava, it was shlo mechaper below carbon, right? So he admits that this is hard to fit into the language, and therefore he says, we were saying a second ago, right, that ena mechaper b'li carbon means that the sar mishaleach needs the sa'ir lashem. Right, as opposed to the day has no required accessories. Right, it's the day is just mechaper all by itself. But definitely, right, what's the orientation you get from the Rashba about the status of the Sar Mishaleach?
It's a
carbon. Certainly, right. Certainly seems to be a carbon, and Ad Kedei Kach that he's willing to call its being sent out to the Azazel a hakrava, right? Which is surprising because it also seems like it's the exact opposite of a hakrava, right? It's shalach.
He says it's of equal status to the Seir Hashem. Well, the Zoresh says that the kapara for the Seir Mishaleach is only kitzah.
Right, excellent point. Yeah, thank you for adding that, right? He's not even entertaining the possibility that it's a second-class kapara, right? 1,000%. This is a karban, and it's kapara of a karban. Well, I suppose the Tosaresh, who... not comfortable with it being a carbon, not comfortable with it being a real kapara, 1,000%, right? So here, Tos Rash and the Rashba, who were neighbors, right, because the Rash, after the death of Maram Rinberg, runs to Spain, right, and bumps into the Rashba, and then the Rashba sends him to a different city in Spain. So they're taking these two main approaches. Okay, so now... let's try to test this a little more. Right? We have two basic perspectives. It is a carbon or it's not a carbon. So let's try to dig a little deeper to see if you know which one seems to be more accurate and can it be both? Right? That I said last time was our eventual goal was that we would say that right. We're trying to get both the Rifersh and the Rambam and the Ramban into the Sar Mishaleach. So that'll be our goal for the rest of the morning. So. We have this Gemara on Samech Gimel Amud Beis, right? And the Gemara here gives a drasha that the Sar Meshaleach cannot be Mechusar Zman. Right? Mechusar Zman meaning what?
Young.
Right, exactly. Too young. Right? The Pasuk says, that'll be next week, the Pasuk says that every carbon has to be at least 8 days old. So if the Pasuk tells me that every carbon has to be at least 8 days old, and I have a drasha telling me the Sar Meshaleach has to be 8 days old, so the obvious question is going to be... Yeah, right. Why does it need its own? Why does it need its own pasuk? So the Gemara kind of asks that question, right? Doesn't have the Gemara open to Samach Gimel Amud Beis? What? Or have the Barlan open to Samach Gimel Amud Beis? Or the Hebrew books Tzuras Sadaf?
Yep.
Also good.
Very likely something good Tzuras Sadaf.
Gimel Amud Beis. It's like in the middle of the daf, Taima de Ravi Rachmana. I'm going to see through a couple of lines. The if you have the Tzuras Sadaf, the first word on the line is Lahotzi. A little less than halfway.
Oh, there we go.
Down.
There we go. Okay, should I read?
Sure.
Okay. Tamad Rabbi. Rahmana ha lo rabbi. Right? Pasuk did not include it. Ha amina sayir hamishtalea klesh mechusar zman.
Question mark. Right, so that's exactly. So what's the question there?
So I thought since the pasuk didn't include it, you thought that a sayir could be, the sayir hamishtalea could be published even if it's less than 8 days.
Right. Because I have this reboy, right? I have this special reboy that includes the Sar Meshaleach. Without that, would I indeed have thought that the Sar Meshaleach can be brought be mechusar zman? Right, one more line. Ella. Not Lasham. Lashem.
And the Goral is not covered yet. I love the Roy Hashem. Hashem. Except for, I don't know what Roy Hashem exactly means. But like, Roy Hashem Karma?
No. I take a look at Rashi if you have it on the side.
Which Rashi? Oh, wait, no, not that one.
Behind a Goral Kovea.
Okay. L'shem. Ella, et haro'oi l'shem. V'chim lo yodea al iza behenya al ha-goral l'shem, right? Since you don't know which one will be chosen out by the goral.
Right, what does l'shem refer to?
L'shem, right, because it refers to l'shem,
what does shame mean in English?
Name.
Right.
I mean, like, the
capital N.
What?
Capital N.
Shem. That type of shame.
Yeah.
La shame.
Correct.
The name.
So what's this concept? Ein hagoral koveya ela bera'oi la shame. What does that seem to mean?
In both of the karbanot, involve have to theoretically be roy as a karba. So it's that both of the serim have to be roy as a karba. In order to do the goral.
It'll be a little more specific, not roy as a karban, because part of our question is, do we have one karban or two karbanot in these goats? But both of these goats have to be
roy to be a karban, regardless if you hold of one.
But not just a karban, it has to be roy to be a little more specific. Sar Lashem, right?
Okay.
Both goats have to be roi to be the Sar Lashem.
Mm-hmm.
And Nafkamina, since they both have to be roi Lashem, argues the Gemara, I should not need
to explicitly say that they need to be Nafkamina.
Exactly, right? I should use the good old-fashioned pasuk from Emor that all karbanos have to be 8 days old, because if it's 7 days old, it will not be eligible to be a Sar Lashem. I will not be eligible to be Sar Lashem.
Wait, is there a distinction between Sar Lashem and other karbanos in terms of 8 days?
Yeah,
No, well, the sire Lashem. So that's the question. The sire Lashem obviously is a full fledged carbon, mm-hmm. right? So there's no debate that the sire Lashem falls under the general rule that that mechusar zman is possible. The question is, why does the sire Lazazel have to be 8 days old?
Okay.
So from here, from the Gemara, it sounds like it's because the sire Lazazel must have the potential to be a sire Lashem, right? That the goral, which makes, you know, just like in a certain technical perspective, makes sense because, right? How could if it's a lottery, which one is going to be which? So they have to both be eligible, right? But it sounds like it's a more fundamental din that, you know, you have to have two goats. Both could have been right. The Sarma Shaleach has to be a missed opportunity Sar Lashem, right? So what you could definitely argue from, and then the Gemara goes on to explain that there are cases where you will have a Sar HaMashalayach with no Hagal, right? So for example, if it in the middle of its tour of duty gets a mum, so then you'll just replace it. So that's the case we're talking about. Sounds in this Gemara that what's the pivotal turning point for whether the Sar HaMashalayach has Dine Karban or not? Hagrala, right? And well, the reasoning for that would be?
Is that the point at which it's decided which one?
Exactly, right? Because the Sar Lashem is the carbon, is the real carbon in the picture, right? And so once we've moved on from Hagrala, so then there's no longer any carbon destiny is gone. And this is brought out very sharply by the Sfas Emes I quote, right? This little one-liner, Sfas Emes in Me'ila, which argues that after Hagrala, there should not be any Me'ila on the Sar HaMashalayach. Right? Take a look inside. It's very short. What does he say? He says, V'gam mehechatesi yebo Me'ila. How do I know there's Me'ila on the Sar HaLazazel? Halo heve kadshe Hashem acher shehigril v'nizbarer deze'in al Hashem. Right? Once the Hagralas occur, we know this is not going to be the goat going inside. So now, forget about not being the Sar HaLashem. It's not even Kadshei Hashem. There's not even Me'ila here anymore, according to the Sfas Emes, which makes a lot of sense, right? It works very nicely with this Gemara. You need carbon potential, but in actuality, right, once it's been identified as a Sar HaMashalayach, in actual identity, the carbon status is gone.
Is that a din in Me'ila in general? Like, kind of once you start the Avoda versus the carbon, there is no Me'ila?
So the normal principle for Me'ila, right, is that Nasis Mitzvasan allows Me'ila, right? So once the carbon's fulfilled its destiny, there's no more Me'ila, right? We saw that with Ketores, right? Because the Me'ila for the Ketores of the year is different from the Ketores of Yom Kippur, right? Because the destiny of the year Ketores is just the act of burning it, right? So after that, there's no Me'ila, whereas the Ketores of Yom Kippur, the destiny is for it to fill the whole room, right? So normal principle is for it to fulfill its destiny. Now, Sar HaMashalayach, post Hagrala, we say it's fulfilled its destiny?
I guess so.
Yeah? What would you think is the Nasis Mitzvasa of the Sar HaMashalayach? 1,000%, right? So he seems to be saying, no, it's not that it's the regular din that it's fulfilled its destiny that removes Me'ila. We've undermined the whole basis for Me'ila, right? It's not Kadshei Hashem. Normally, Karbanos are Kadshei Hashem that fulfill their destiny. Here, this isn't Kadshei Hashem. This is a goat that's going out to Azazel, right? Who takes the goat out to Azazel?
Zar,
right? It's a Zar. This isn't a Karban. So that's you know, definitely model number one that you can put on there, right? The Sar HaMashalayach isn't itself a carbon, it needs potential to be a carbon, right? One Rishon who definitely did not pull that way, I'll have to explain, you know, one Rishon definitely did not agree with this line of reasoning.
The Rambam.
The Rambam, yeah, the Rambam does not agree with this line of reasoning. And this is the Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Parak Yud Ches Halacha Yud Aleph, a celebrated Rambam. We haven't had so many Rambam Raivit fights this year, but
yeah.
It's good to end on a strong one. Okay. Yeah.
Czar.
Sure.
So, right, Shlita Bazaar is kosher.
Right.
So, are there any, Rishon and Rakhona that talk about, the parallel with that and the HDT, and then, try and make the argument that, well, if Shrita is Kasher Bazaar, and then, okay, maybe this is, a form of Shrita in a way, bringing the goat out to the desert is, almost, that step of the carbon, and then, just the fact that both.
That's a serious question. And the Gemara even says that the throwing off, the Gemara says, Dechiyasa Zawi Shchitaso, that the throwing it off the cliff is parallel to Shchita, which is a whole interesting discussion of itself. Does that mean you could eat the limbs? And Cheskina has a talk about that. The Gemara brings a drasha that the Ishiti could be a czar. And the difference between... Well, the difference between Shchita and Dechia. In a normal carbon, so what have you achieved post-Shchita?
You got the blood.
But what have you not achieved yet? Kapara. Right? The pivotal step, the Mechaper, is the Zrika. Right? So Dechia seems to be parallel to two actions, right? It's parallel to Shchita because it's killing the goat, but it also seems parallel to Zrika because it's the Mechaper. So that's why the Gemara says, since there's Kapara involved, I would have had a Havamina that I need a Kohen. So, but interesting. Lamaskana, probably we wouldn't base it on Shchita, but interesting thought. So we have this Rambam Ravid Yechasid Aleph, right? And they're working off of this Gemara that was one daf earlier on Samach Beis and Mabeis. And the question is, if you shacht the goat outside the Beis HaMikdash, are you chayev or not? Right? So this is this week's Parsha. Again, right? Shvutei Chutz is the very next Parsha after Avodah Yom Kippurim, right? So if you shacht the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, what's the halacha?
Kares,
right? Bam. Not good. So what does the Rambam say? Let's read the Rambam. Do you want to take the Rambam? Awesome.
Shnei sivrei yom kippurim sheshaktam bachutz im ad shelo hitpada alehem chayav kari ashneihem ha'lakoy l'ruin babo lifnei Hashem l'vitor. So two sivrei yom kippurim that are shechted bachutz until there's vidoy on them, you're chayav kari on both of them for shechita chutz. Because they're both able to be brought before Hashem for a vidoy. Ve'im achar shi'tada kator al mishaleach sh'harei nor oy lavo ifnei Hashem. That after vidoy in mishaleach, you're kator for the shvita of mishaleach b'chutz, because it cannot be brought with Hashem.
Right. So what do you think the svara is there? What? How does roy lavo ifnei Hashem connect to shvutei chutz?
That the shir mishaleach, which isn't going to be brought, it's not a classical carbon in that way, so it doesn't matter if it's shechted b'chutz, or you're not chayav if it's shechted b'chutz. Things that are going to be brought,
right?
Need to be shechted inside.
Exactly. Things that are going to be what?
Brought as a carbon in the Mikdash.
Right. So the question is going to be how does Roi Lavo Lifnei Hashem? What does that mean exactly? Because the Sarmah Shaleach is never going to be shechted inside, right? That's never its destiny. So how... What?
It says, I mean, that's right. Specifically, the only option is Sarmah Shaleach, so it has to be talking about
right. That one. So what do we think? Why should... You're supposed to do a vidui on it in the Mikdash. That creates an Isser of Shchutei Chutz until the moment of Vidui. So why should that be? What is Svara?
It has some sort of Shechut to the Mikdash still.
Excellent. Right, exactly. That's a perfect way of putting it. There's a Shechut to the Mikdash. You would probably also argue, in fact you almost definitely have to argue, that there's not just Shaykhut to the Mikdash, but what's the status of the goat if there's going to be an Eser Shchutei Chutz? 1,000%, right? If this is Chulin, if it's, right, like the Sfas Emma was saying, if it's not Kadshe Mizbeach, not Kadshe Hashem, there can't be an Eser Shchutei Chutz. 1,000%, right? So those, the Rambam's resting on two assumptions. Number one, he's thinking that the Sar Meshaleach remains having the status of a karban even after the lottery. Right? We know it's a Sar Lazazel, but it still has the status of a karban. Number two, right, he's arguing, as Rakel said, that the machayev of Shchutei Chutz is not that you're going to be brought in the Mikdash, but it's that you have to have some shaychus to the Mikdash, right? There is some, you know, avoda which must be done to this karban in the Mikdash. If this karban is supposed to be having stuff done to it in the Mikdash, you cannot shacht it outside, right? Those are the two assumptions of the Rambam. Arguing on the Rambam is the Ravid, right? And what's the, we're not reading the text, it's a little tricky, but what's the Ravid's position?
How, it's Hagrala.
Hagrala. Right, right. You only have Shchutei Chutz until Hagrala, which honestly works very nicely with the Gemara in Yuman, Samach Beis, and Mebeis. And then the Rambam seems to be based on this Gemara in Zvachim, on Kofi Gimel Beis, which the Ravid gets very upset about. He throws out a Chai Roshi, which the Ravid does when he's annoyed, which you have lots of Chai Roshis in the Ravid. So according to the Ravid, you only have an Isra of Shchutei Chutz until Hagrala. And what's the Svara going to be for that? So really one of two options, right? The Ravid can argue with either one of those two assumptions of the Rambam.
It sounds like the real point of Shchutei Chutz is it has to be where the Zirka Laktara. At that point, it's going to lose the status of Ela. There's only one that's going to end up having that, so really, where we're up until like, the point of Agrella, we had this idea of Bear. Well, that's sort of throwing the star sentence in there, but like, at the end of the day, only one of them has an actual din of what's truly Ela or Karma. So it's hard to extend it to the other one.
Right, so Rambam's two assumptions are Sar Meshaleach is a karban, and Shchutei Chutz only requires shaychus to the mikdash. Right, so you're arguing right now that which assumption is the Ravid arguing with?
It's sort of both in a way.
That's not what I thought you were arguing. But if people are paying attention.
Well, let me see if I could clarify.
I'm pretty sure you're making a specific argument.
Could have been, but like now that I read these two options, like I feel like I should sort of argue both within what I said.
Okay, good. So take it one at a time.
Let's see. Okay, let's go with that. It equals a karban. Well, it doesn't equal a karban because once you get to the point of bear, only one of them is a karban.
Right, 100%. Right. So that would be one way to argue, is to say that as the Sfas HaMes argued based on the Mechaser's Man Gemara, the turning point is Hagrala. Once we know that it's a Sayer HaMeshtalayach, so it needed karban potential, but it doesn't have karban actuality, right? So once you've cleared Hagrala, there's no way to talk about Shchutei Chutz. That could be one reason for the Ravid to argue with the Rambam, right? Hagrala is the turning point. Other way you could argue, which would be less interesting for our purposes, but we have to admit that it's a possibility.
Another way to argue is that this idea of Shchutei Chutz is only, shot, but the Mikdash should be done from the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us specifically it's by Zrika Lakdara. Right? That's the point where Mi'ilah is going to end.
Right.
Thus, by the Karba, the not, karma, but the seer shleach, it's never going to be. We're never doing zirkani. We're never doing daranets. It's outside of mikdash. So why should for the chutzavai?
Right. The Ravid hears Rakel say you just need shaychus to the mikdash, and the Ravid says that chai roshi. Right? I never heard of shaychus to the mikdash. What on earth does that mean? I need hakrava. Right. I need a shchita. I need a zrika. Right. And without that, no can do. Right. So those are the two ways the Ravid can argue on this Rambam. We definitely see within the Rambam's view, which nicely works with what he said in the Mor Nebuchim, right? Always go when that happens. Is the Rambam clearly thinks that even after Hagrala, you still have the status of Karban. Okay, so now we get to the point where we'll try to put the Rambam Rav Hirsch idea together with the Ramban idea, right? So far we've seen this general machlokas rishonim, machlokas achronim, where the Sar Meshaleach has a status of a karban, right? And we saw that could draw on its connection to the Sar Lashem, with all sorts of interesting nafgamina. And then we saw, does it have the status of a carbon at all? So the strange kapara, right, which lasts all day long, and Tosa Rush didn't want it to be a full kapara, as I said. The Sfas Emes's argument about Me'ila, and now the Rabbi and the Ram arguing about Shchut Echutz, post Hagrala, can all stem from this Machlokas.
One question.
Yeah.
Does the Sfas Emes necessarily agree with the Rabbi in terms of there being Me'ila before Hagrala?
Yeah, I think everybody thinks that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
For both of them.
Yeah. Because it's not Roy Lashem without right. You buy them with money from the Truma Salishka, right? And that's our carbon seaborne funds.
Okay.
Okay. So now the question is going to be: can we say both? Can we say that it is a carbon or not a carbon? And the way it's okay to say that is going to be that maybe it changes its identity. Does it morph from a carbon into a non-carbon?
So it's kind of clear.
Really?
Is that still a question?
That it changes into a non-carbon.
I guess it's going to be said explicitly, but I feel like that's like the
obvious
conclusion to draw from everything
you've spoken about. That would be great. That would mean it's a success. So let me present. So there are three archonim to see, and we'll see them, and we'll see why I'm saying that. So people quote the Gvura Sari, and people quote Rav Chaim on the Shas, and unfortunately people don't, but maybe now they start to will, quote the Chidushe Hagram b'Hagrid, right? Which is, as far as I can tell from the introduction, is like chidushim that the family had, which like some of them are from the Rav, and some of them are from his father, and some of them are like them developing ideas together. So they just put this out and call it chidushim Hagram b'Hagrid. The initial two versions of it were chidushim Hagram b'Hagrid b'inyani kadshim, but then they found some new ones, and so now they just call it chidushim Hagram b'Hagrid. And there's cool stuff in here. The same, Chaim Soloveitchik along with Rav Yitzi Lichtenstein and Rabbi Chaim Olson. Yeah.
Isn't there a new-ish volume that's like four years?
They had the original version, which was like totally unusable because there's no index and like you couldn't find anything. Then, and that was when I came to Gush, that was like out of print. It was really annoying because everyone wanted one. And then in. So I don't know how I got my hands on this one, because this was republished in 2004, but it was out of print, but somehow got one, which they put out with an index, and then like a few years ago they put out a new one with more stuff. And there's like Hilchos Shabbos, I think, and like Erevin maybe, so it's a little thicker, and they dropped the Inyanei Kachim, so it's a less cumbersome title. It's just Chidushi Hagam V'Hagrid now. Yeah, and this one has a mistake, because on the front cover it's Chidushe with no Yud, and then on the side, it's Chidush Hagram B'Hagrid. They put the Yud in the wrong place. Yes, I don't know what was up with that. Anyway, so there are two pieces in here. So we have the Gvura Sari, we have Rav Chaim, and then we'll have the culminating ideas developed by the Rebbe's father. So Rav Chaim, like, assumes, like, without even explaining it, that the Sar Meshaleach has a shame carbon, but loses it, right? At what point would it lose its shame carbon? So that would be step one, right? But we know the Rambam can't. And if you say it's a Hagral, then you say that really Sar Meshaleach inherently shouldn't have had a shame carbon, right? It just needed to have the potential.
Oh, but the Rambam thinks it happens at Vidui.
Right, exactly. So we have Vidui, and then what happens immediately after the Vidui? Dismissed, right? Case dismissed. You send the goat away. So either the vidui or the sending away, Rav Chaim argues it now loses its shame carbon, which is a very novel idea, and he doesn't explain it at all. He just like says it. His central proof that it must not be a carbon anymore once you send it away. He just has one proof. Yeah, Right? Because who's doing the avoda, quote unquote, for this tzar? It's a tzar. If this is a carbon, it better not be a tzar, it should be a kohen. Right? So the fact that it's a tzar who's doing it, Rabbi Chaim tells you that it's not a carbon anymore. Okay. Good. Now, Rabbi Chaim also argues that one proof you could bring that it has the status of a carbon beforehand is that that string that they tie around the goat was purchased with funds from Trumas Haleshka, right? And the Trumas Haleshka can only be used for the Tzorech Karbanos, right? So something is needed for a carbon, then you buy it with Trumas Haleshka. If not, you buy it with the Shayare Haleshka, right? Like the leftover money from a different Beis HaMikdash bank account. So the fact that the string, that you don't use the string until after Hagrala, right? So since the string that you tie around the Tzar Mashaleach is bought from Trumas Haleshka, you see that it was a carbon, but he assumes that it's no longer a carbon post vidui and being sent away. Okay, now a little earlier than Rav Chaim was the Gurus Ari, right? The Gurus Ari, who's also more famously known. I don't know who more famously for by the Gurus Ari.
No, I'm gonna ask her. Like, I didn't
know you. Shagas Ari. The Gurus Ari, the Shagas Ari. What? Yeah, so his three svarim are the Shagas Aryeh, the Gevurah Sarih, and the Turi Avin. What was
name?
What?
Name?
Sorry?
Actual name?
Rabbi Aryeh Leib ben Asher Ginsburg. Hence, the lion theme, right? yeah, there's a story with him. He was the chief rabbi of Metz in the 1700s, which was the biggest Jewish community that was like the biggest Jewish community in the world, I think, was Metz at the time. And he always would attack, apparently, the Lavush, who was Rav Mordechai Yaffe, right? And like in a sermon, he always rag on the Lavush. And then, I think when he was older, he had an accident where a bookcase fell on top of him, with like all of his farm on top of him. And I think he was badly injured. And he said that while he was under the pile, he heard the pasuk, Ari or Aryeh Yishag, right? That the lion roars, Mi Lo Yira, right? Who is another pasuk? He's like, right? Who's not afraid when the lion roars? But in his context, it was right. The lion roars, and Mi Rashi Teva for Mordechai Yaffe, Lo Yira, right? Those the Levush was saying to the Shagasari that you know I'm not scared of your attacks on me. Okay, so the Gevurah Sarih, this is right 100 years before Rav Chaim, is bothered, how are you tying this string on the Tzar HaMishtaleach, and then after that, you walk the Tzar HaMishtaleach all the way out to the Midbar while it is schlepping the string. We have a principle that if you have karbanos, you're not allowed to do avoda with them, right? You can't do labor with a carbon. So the right, we have this, the Gemara in Pesachim tells the story of how Hillel became the Nasi. Right, and then they had they got upset, and then they had the question of how do the how can on if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, everyone wants to know how can we. So first everyone wants to know, do you bring the carbon Pesach on Shabbos or not? And so Hillel says yes, and Hillel approves it, and so Hillel becomes the Nasi. But then the question is, how do you get the sheep to the Mikdash? The problem is, right, the sheep, that's not so hard. The sheep can carry itself. The problem is, how do you get your knife, your shechita knife, to the base of Mikdash? So Hillel was a little full of himself, right, so Hillel forgot what the halacha is, and so Hillel says, right, just look at what Am Yisrael do, right, and Einan Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im Haim, so we'll look at what the minhag is, right, and what do all people do, you know, how do people get their shechita knives to the Mikdash? That's what they should have done, but they were busy praying for Yantif.
Where are they?
Close.
Yeah, make a belt.
Close, so they don't make a belt, they stick the knife in the wool of the sheep. So the sheep carries the knife to the Mikdash. The Gemara objects, how could, which, you know, is a little poetic, I guess, or tragic, I don't know. But so the Gemara objects, how could the sheep carry the knife to the Mikdash? That's doing avod the bekanshim, right? You can't carry the knife. The answer is no, right? They brought the sheep to the Mikdash. as a chulin sheep, right? And then they would makdish it once they got to the mikdash. No problem of avodah b'kadosh. But you clearly see that, right, for an animal to carry something, if it's carbon, you can't do it, right? So how is the goat allowed to schlep the red tangle of wool all the way to the desert?
But it's tied around, isn't it? Is it sort of wearing it? Is that like a thing with animals?
I guess maybe you could argue that. Doesn't the Gemara talks about that as a Shabbos question, right? Wasn't it like the Machlokes Tanaim, I think, of if Rav Elazar ben Azariah's cow had he would tie a ribbon around it and the Chacham weren't happy with him or something. So I hear as an answer to the question, maybe. But just the Gemara Sari says, I would love the answer to be, yeah, how can the Sefer Shaleach schlep the tongue of wool to the desert? Isn't it a carbon?
It's not.
Not a carbon, right? I was a carbon. It's not a carbon anymore, right? That would be great. But he says, the only reason why I can't say that is because I have no idea how it loses its carbon status. And generally, even if you have a carbon which gets a mum, so you can redeem it, it always has the residual prohibition of labor, right? Because Kedushas HaGuf never fully goes away, right? It's always inherent to the animal. So even when you're able to redeem it, the prohibition of labor still lingers. So you have to respect what this animal was. So how on earth can we say that, just what Reb Chaim kind of blithely assumed, that the Sefer Shaleach loses its carbon status? We'd love it to be true, and it would answer the Guru Suri's problem of the Avoda question, but he doesn't. He thinks that you can't say it, and he's so convinced of this that he leaves it Bitzarchian. Okay, so now we come to the Gran Bagrid, and then we'll, one more Rambam, and then we'll close. So Gran Bagrid, they have two pieces. One piece is on this Rambam over here in Ma'aseh Karbanos, about the Shulit HaChutz issue, and then there's a second piece that they have, which is in the Gemara in Shavuos that we saw, that Machlokes with the Rashba and Tosas Rash, where they talk about the nature of the kapara of the goat. Which one to do first? Let's do the one in Mexicanos first, because it's in order. So they present the Rambam, they present the Ravid, they say, you know, a lot of what we would want to say. Oh, right, it's clear that according to the Rambam, it remains a carbon even after Hagrala, right? It remains a carbon even until Vidui. Now, the question is, right, so when, well, yeah, okay. Right, the view of the Rambam was that the goat remains having an Isra of Shchut Echutz until Vidui, right? And what was our explanation for that? Why is Vidui the turning point? But why do we care about Vidui so much? That there's still an Isra of Shchut Echutz all the way until Vidui? Vidui is in the Mikdash, exactly, right? So you have, this is the avoda of the sire. Now, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued what the key moment for the Sarah Mashalayach was, right? That was, does the Sefer Shaleach need to remain alive until Vidui, or does the Sefer Shaleach need to only remain alive until the completion of the Avodas Hadam of the Sar Lashem, right? That was what we saw in the beginning. So the question that they deal with is, when the Rambam tells me that the Sefer Shaleach, you have Shutei Chutz until Vidui, does that force us into understanding the Rambam as thinking that Rabbi Shimon is correct, and that you, the pivotal moment is Vidui, and that the Vidui is Ma'akev, and you have, right, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, you would think that maybe Shu'ut Echutz is only until the completion of the Avodah Sadam, right, but that by the time you get to Vidui, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would have thought that you don't have a Shu'ut Echutz problem anymore. Since the Vidui isn't ma'akev, right? Maybe you could say that. If the Rambam was telling me that you have shud echutz until Vidui, that tells me paskins that Vidui is ma'akev. They don't want to say that because you don't want to pin the Rambam into Rabbi Shimon, and also it seems like a lot of people think that Hagrala is ma'akev, and we know that that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So you'd like the Rambam to be still in Rabbi Yehuda, even if he thinks that Vidu is Nam Akev. So the Rav and Rav Moshe propose that maybe we should say that as it's not that you need the pivotal moment to preserve Shutei Chutz. It's just that as long as this is a karban and has a kiyum in the Mikdash, not even a kiyum ha'akev, but just it has a kiyum that to be done with it in the Mikdash, it retains its iser Shutei Chutz. It is a karban. It has shaychas in the Mikdash, basically exactly what Raquel's argument was, right? We don't need pivotal shaychas. We need shaychas. A kiyum for it that's being done in the Mikdash, as long as it's a karban, then you're good to go. But once you've completed vidui, so now it's no longer a shaychas mikdash, and it's not even a carbon anymore, they assume. Right? Now they assume paka, it's no longer a carbon, and therefore after it's being sent away, you will have no shchutei chutz, you will have no shchutei chutz problem. So the pivotal moment is that it is being sent away. Now, they have a point in here which they assume, but they don't really develop at length. They develop at length in the other piece, but they show that there are two different kaparos to the sire. And this is really going to help us see the idea that it changes its identity, right? One kapara of the sire is at what point? What's the first point where the Sfar Mashaleach achieves kapara? What does the Kohen Gadol do? With the sire?
He does
vidui, right? He does a vidui. And that is kapara number one. And that is the kapara, what we call the kapara of karbanos, right? That's where you have the smicha, the vidui, right? The Kohen Gadol is one who has to do it, just like all the other avod on Yom Kippur. Then there's a second kapara. What's the second kapara we get with the Sar Mashaleach? The pushing, right? The throwing it off of the cliff. That's kapara number two, after it has been sent away. And this idea that there are two different points of kapara proves, or at least explains, a bunch of different things. First of all, the question of that was bothering Tosar, right? How could you have kapara that lasts all day, right? Like this isn't this isn't like any perspirant or like we advertise, right? You put it on in the morning and it lasts all day. Kapara doesn't work that way. So how does that happen? So the answer is going to be, well, the vidui kapara is the regular standard kapara of a karban, right? While the shiluach kapara is really, right, triggering the kapara sayom, right? That doesn't look like the kapara of a karban because it's not the kapara of a karban. That's the kapara which lasts the whole day. The biggest proof that they have for that idea is there was a machlokes in the Tanaim whether the Kohanim get any kapara from the Sar Mashaleach or not. Do the Kohanim get kapara from the Sar Mashaleach, or does the kapara for the Kohanim all come from the par of the Kohen Gadol? So the Rebbe Rav Moshe asks, wait a second. Let's assume for a second that the kapara for the other, for all of Klal Yisrael, comes from the par of the Kohen Gadol. And the kapara for Klal Yisrael comes from the Sar Mashaleach. So the Kohanim are at a huge disadvantage. Right, because what's the unfair advantage that you get if you have kapara sayer hamashaleach as opposed to kapara from a karban?
The whole day.
You'll get the whole day, right? So how come the day-long kapara goes to non-kohanim and kohanim are stuck with, right? If you do any averos between 2 o'clock, you say a bit of lashon hara, between lashon hara and shkia, you're done. It's not fair. We could add to that problem that if the Sar Mashaleach has a carbon of the tzibor, then the whole tzibor should automatically get kapara from it. So what does it mean that the Kohanim don't get any kapara from the Sar Hamishtaleach if there's an extra aspect of the kapara? So they say, yeah, no problem. There are two different kaparos of the Sar Hamishtaleach. One is the good old-fashioned kapara of a carbon, and that the Kohanim don't get because they're covered already, right? They got the kapara of the par of the Kohen Gadol, so they just don't need and therefore don't receive kapara from the vidui of the Sar Hamishtaleach. But that all day long kapara, which comes from the being sent away, right, and isn't even the kapara of a karban, is kapara of the yom, that certainly the Kohanim get, right? So we have its karban kapara, we have its being its yom kapara, right? And one is retoras karban, and one is not, right? The second kapara is just as the trigger for the avot, the kapara sayom, right? That the day, you have kapara of karbanos, you have kapara of the day. So the kapara of karbanos works as karban kapara. The Sarah Shaleach also triggers the kapara of the day, right? The kapara of the day, in a world where you have Sarah Shaleach, takes effect not at Shkia, but it begins taking effect with a moment of Dechi Letzot, right? So that explains that. You have its carbon kapara, its non-carbon kapara. Also explains, because, right, we have the vidui, which has to be done bifnim, the shaychas to the mikdash, and then we have the being sent away, which is the kapara of chutz. Right? And also the proof that there are two different kaparos is when would the string turn white, right? We have the red string turns white at the moment of kapara, but it doesn't turn white at the moment of the vidui, because the string turning white is a reflection of kapara sayom, and therefore it turns white. It's a little tricky. When exactly? But whenever the shiluach is done. So it seems to be machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's when you reach the desert and have completed the sending, or whether it's when you fling it off and you've killed the goat. But either way, at some point in that parsha, at some point in the sending away parsha, is when the string turns white, and that's because we're dealing with kapara sayom, triggered by Sarah Meshaleach, as opposed to Vidoy, which is the kapara of carbon, which is being triggered by Sarah Meshaleach.
Is that only
Shadach to the Sarah
Meshaleach, or is that Shadach to the whole of Odom Kippur? That possible?
That's a great question.
Like, we're talking about it as if it's only, well, like, from the kapara of the
Sarah
Meshaleach,
but... In different places, the Rav kind of... The answer is... It's probably both, in that you need... The Rebbe has one piece where he says that, he quotes his father as saying that besides the regular karban kapara of all the karbanos, they also contribute towards the kapara sayom. But you could be like laying the groundwork for it and putting in the ingredients, but the trigger point is the Sarah Meshaleach. So I think both are true, right? You need the other kabanos; the other kabanos are contributing towards it, but the climax is the Sarah Meshaleach. Okay, so we just need to take Rav one and Rav Moshe one step further, which is once we have these two kaparos of the Sarah Meshaleach, one betoras karban at vidui, one betoras shiluach, right? Which is, you know, as a non-carbon. So we can say that it is the... What is mafkia, the status of carbon? It is the being sent away, right? That dramatic moment of sending away the sire is what takes away its shame carbon, right? You are not going to be brought inside. You're being sent out, right? And that's the total opposite of its identical twin, which was the sire Lashem, right? Which is being brought inside and ends up teaming up with which other carbon? The par, right? The Sire Lashem changes teams, right? It had been connected to the Sire Lazazel, and then instead it upgrades to the par Kohen Gadol, right? And the Sire Lashaleach, you have the exact opposite phenomenon, right? Where it had been twinned with the Sire Lashem, and instead it goes out, right? It's being dramatically sent out to the Yazar. So the Shiluach could be the moment. I mean, the Rav says that the Shiluach is the moment. It just doesn't put any meat, at least in the writing here, as to why that is. I think we could just kind of put one step on that the Shiluach is the Ramban's anti-carbon moment, right? We're taking what was a carbon, right? Take it out. So that, and the Gross 3 says, I don't know any concept in halacha of something which was a carbon and loses its shame carbon legamre. And the answer is going to be, yeah, that's the unique drama of the Sarah Meshaleach, right? That's exactly what's going on here. You don't have anywhere else. That we have a carbon, And strip it, throw it away, right? Take it out to Azazel to achieve its non kapara, or as the Ramban would put it, anti kapara, anti carbon kapara. So you could say that it was a carbon all the way until vidoy, when it gets its kapara betoras carbon, and then you have the pivotal moment of shiluach. You send it away with the ishiti, the czar, right? Dafka, the czar, you could send it away with, and then you get the kapara of the yom. So just one. My welcome to that, I think, drives home that point. I don't know if this will close. Is this line in the sheet of Mikubetzes, right? This last verse on the sheet. Right. So the Gemara says ish iti afilu betuma, right? That the ish iti, even if he's tame, so what does he do? What does ish iti? Right? How does he begin his job? What's the first thing Ishiti has to do? Pick it up, right? He's come pick it up. And where does he pick it up?
Yeah,
right? He walks into the Azara, right? Takes the goat and then goes off on his way. So we have a drasha that even if he's Tameh, he goes into the Azara to pick up the goat. Which, I mean, 2 seconds ago, we brought the Sayer Lashem, which was Machaper for Tumas Mikdash, right? And then like 1 second later, we have the Shiti come into the Azara, the Tumah, to pick up the goat. So why is he allowed to come in to pick up the goat? So I have to get it from the Kohen Gadol. You know, okay. So Shinogeses asks the question, if he has to get it from the goat, why not just, what could the Kohen Gadol do? Instead of having the Ishiti come into the Azara to get the goat from the Kohen Gadol, bring it outside, right? Kohen Gadol can walk, right? Baruch Hashem, he's a healthy man, right? He's been running around all day. So walk a little more, bring the goat out to the door of the Azara, and give it to the Ishiti like that, right? Just like last week with the Mitzvah, right? The way the Mitzvah is Kapara works. He stands on the border, and the Kohen's here, he's there. You do all the oil and dam, have the same thing, right? Just hand of the goat, not so complicated. It's a great question, so Tsunubeses asks. And what's their answer? So they say, the Shema Kevan Dechsev Yamud Chai Lifnei Hashem L'Shalcho. Since the pasuk says it must stand alive before Hashem to be sent out, Tzarech Shiyah Biyad Ish Iti Mi Lifnei Hashem. It needs to go straight from Lifnei Hashem to the Ish Iti. We have this kind of strange requirement that it has to be Lifnei Hashem Mamish in the Azara, and there, right when it's already Lifnei Hashem, the Ish Iti has to come in and take it out to the to Azazel. So like, what's behind that, right? Like, why does the Ish Iti Betoma have to mix with Lifnei Hashem, right? Why does Ish Iti have to collide with Lifnei Hashem? So what can we say? I think.
It's a continuation of the new part of the Avodah,
it's
just not necessarily in the
Mikdash. Yeah, I would say it's not the moment of continuation, it's the moment of rupture. Right? What better illustration of the fact that the Shiluach is now stripping this carbon than by saying, yeah, we need a direct confrontation, right? That the Yamor Chai Lifnei Hashem, carbon, Sar Meshaleach, Kapara, Vidui, Sar Lashem, right, collides already Lifnei Hashem with the Ish Iti, right, Zar, Tuma, who takes it out to Azazel, right? And that the need for those two to meet is so important that even though he's Tameh, the Ish Iti is still going to come in and collide, right? So then what we end up having is both the Rambam refers, right, that it was a carbon linked to the Sar Lashem, Kapar of a carbon, Vidui, etc. And then, right, the Shiluach is this traumatic act, right, which we strip it of its carbon identity, and take it out to Azazel, and have a whole different model of kapara, right? The anti-carbon kapara, and that is the kapara, of the yom, right? That Ramban's idea that ultimately, whatever sins can't even be directly cured, right, are going to be quarantined and sent out to Azazel. So that, yeah, and with